Now then, that's Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire, but I can tell you that a political party that's trying to put out the fire for certainly people who feel disenfranchised are people before profit. With that in mind, I am going to speak now to the people before profit candidate for the Clontarf ward, Bernard Mulvaney. Bernard, good morning and welcome to Northside Today.
Good morning, George. How are you? How are you keeping?
Bernard, I am going to start by asking you the same first question that I have asked every candidate we've spoken to in recent weeks, and they're starting to stack up now at this stage. Why should the good people of Clontarf vote for you?
Well, the good people of Clontarf should vote for me because I want to, in particular, work for people that feel that they have no voice at the moment. The background I'm coming from and the reason I'm getting involved is I have a little girl with a disability. My daughter was born into a wheelchair, and so I'd have a lot of experience in the CRC in Clontarf, Temple Street Children's Hospital, and I meet a lot of families who are, particularly when it comes to housing, who they just have no access to it. And through the last recession, respite care has been completely just taken away from them. The domiciliary care allowance was hit during the recession, as was the carers allowance. I mean, these are the people that are most vulnerable in our society, and they were targeted. So personally, I've had instances where by services and devices that were needed for my daughter weren't able to be met, and I was asked if I could go out and fund them myself. So I had to step up. I couldn't stand by and be quiet anymore. I got involved with a young man from Dunleary who was fighting for his own equality, a young man in a wheelchair, and he just wanted to be seen as equal with everyone else, and he couldn't access trains or buses. So I decided to stand with Sean. He was a young man at the time in his 20s, and I spent 4 years campaigning with him. And the main reason that I'm getting involved is to try and give people with disabilities a better voice in our community.
And do you think, Bernard, that, you know, some people may look at that and say, yeah, grand, but that's a one-trick pony. What about housing? What about, well, I know it's part of the health thing. What about this new bus connect? What about, you know...
Well, I can tell you, the bus connects thing, I was forced onto that here in Marino. The reason being is they want to take away the 123. And the 123 is a very wheelchair accessible bus. And they wanted to drop that down to a 24-seater, like the old Imp bus. You know, remember the old Imp bus?
I am told now that they were a very useful little tool for nipping around the place. But when they want them now, they have to buy them again because all the other ones are now on the streets in India.
Well, the thing with the Imp bus is that it was not very wheelchair accessible, and so you've got a fairly substantial elderly community here in Marino. There's about 800 dwellings where the people are over 65, and actually I think I was at a meeting there recently with Dublin City Council in relation to the new tea gardens, and they said that there's about 430 dwellings where the people are over 80 years of age. Now, the Imp might have been good in its day, but when you look at it now with people with their mobility issues, particularly then looking at my daughter in her wheelchair, no lift access, no ramp to get down or into, and the 123 as it stands there at the moment is a fantastic service. It brings all the students, a lot of people too, have foregone having a car so that they can access public transport into the city. And to take that away without any sort of consultation, I think Dublin City Council were taken aback by the response we got. I collected over 2,000 signatures in the area. People were very dismayed at the fact that they were going to remove that from the locale. So, and again, without any sort of consultation, they thought they were just going to polish it over and sell it to us as a soft soap. And no, the people said, no, we want a good working public transport network for everyone, not just for the able-bodied. We want people, elderly and those with disabilities, to be able to access a public transport network.
And in relation to that, Bernard, the issue of transport, and it's something that I've been looking at for quite a while. Dublin Bus have a new fleet of buses coming online. My understanding is that not one of them are the energy saving buses. Not one of them are electric. They're not biodiesel. They're straight old fashioned Volvo engines that are in them. So I mean, from that point of view, surely that's something that should be looked at again.
Absolutely. I mean, climate change is the biggest threat to humanity at the moment, and such things like that. I mean, let's look at it like in more detail and say, you know, I mean, the Lewis, as awkward and all as it can be at times, and there's been a lot of people complaining about it, I suppose at the end of the day, is a good public transport network. The buses, we should be investing in environmentally friendly buses. We should be increasing the bus quota back up to the way it was before. We're still about 120 buses less than what we were before the recession hit, when Dublin Bus took the buses off, or the government took the buses off. You'd like to think by increasing our public transport network, making it more efficient, people would forgo their cars. In this area, particularly in Marino, a lot of families actually don't have a car. Young families, they decided there's good access to the city, so with bikes and public transport, we don't need a car. And when we're trying to push the reduction in fossil fuels and emitting CO2 and stuff like that, I mean, it would only make sense for Dublin City Council and, well, for the government as such, to invest in a really good public transport system. And like that, a network of buses that are efficient, that are inclusive, and that would serve the greater good of the community.
Now, to turn back to, I suppose, all politics is local, Bernard, and no more so than the local elections. There is, you know, there's massive competition in all the constituencies. Like I'd say to the best of my recollection that I have never seen so many candidates running in right. some of these wards as there have been in as there is in this one. Do you think that people will engage more with the local politics this time? I mean, everybody would be able to tell you who your local TD is. Most people would probably be able to tell you who your MEP is, the local MEP is. But when it comes to the local councillors, a lot of people aren't sure who they are, what party they're affiliated with. You know, do you think that this time round there's more of an engagement with local politics, Bernard?
Well, I can tell you, in Marino Clontarf, they know who's doing what, and they know who their councillors are. The people are very, very engaged in what's going on. They're very conscious of the issues that are there, the housing, the transport, people living with disabilities and the like. I've been, as I said, involved in disability activism for over 4 years now, before I got involved with the party. So a lot of people in the area would know me, and they see myself and my little daughter going up to school and stuff like that. I give up work, I stay at home to care for her. So we would be engaging with the community already, so we would. And people are fairly clued in, and they know too if someone is feeding them a soft soap as well. Like, you know, they're very, especially I find the young people in particular now have started to really get involved in politics. So when you go knocking on the doors, you have to have your facts right. You have to be able to be able to make your case and be able to say, you know, this is the reason why I'm doing this, and this is particularly why I'm trying to make our society a bit more inclusive, a little less divisive, why I think you need housing, why I think the public transport network should be better and serve the community in such a way that it's efficient and inclusive. And definitely people now are so on the ball when it comes to, like, you can't spin them any sort of a bowl, if you want to, for the want of a better word. They're too on top of it, they are, you know. And I mean, the young people in particular, housing is the huge issue, and they want to make sure that you know what you're talking about when it comes to housing.
And Bernard, we are hearing that our economy is booming and things are flying along. If that is true, is it getting harder and harder to sell the message of people before profit?
Well, now, I'll be honest with you there. I think I get a great laugh out of this, that the economy is booming, and it probably is. But I can tell you now, from going up to the school with my daughter and from out canvassing and meeting people and being involved in different things in the community, and the discussions that we have with people, like I'm a full-time carer. I give up work 9 years ago to care for my daughter. My wife's a nurse, so she had to stay at her job. People are struggling. They're constantly struggling. They still don't see this recovery that everyone keeps talking about. They seem to be they're constantly hit with more charges. There's added costs for this, that, and the other. They're saying, where are these so-called recoveries that we keep hearing the powers that be tell us? They're not there. People are still on the margins. They're going from month to month when it comes to paycheck and hoping that nothing happens this month that didn't happen last month so that we can afford to pay the bills. And I meet families constantly whose children, working children, who have good jobs, have moved home because they can't afford to buy a house. So they have to move home with their children to try and raise a deposit to be able to get some sort of a house and have some sort of a stability in their future. I mean, it's very bizarre when we hear all this talk of a recovery. I think the recovery is for very few, and I don't think they really felt the hardship that a lot of people felt during the recession. I think they were insulated and they're quite protected. When you're knocking on doors, meeting people and talking to them, people are struggling with mortgages, struggling with bills, and they're at a loss as to what they're going to happen with their children who are in their 20s and 30s and are still living at home. And yet no one wants to offer any sort of solution to that, whereas we people for profit are constantly vouching for we want a state-led building program of affordable homes for people that can get out there and make a life for themselves, put a family in a house that they can build a community and people feel like they have a sense of worth and that they feel involved. And that's the best way, I think, going forward. I think that's what we're all about here in this country.
You were talking there, Bernard, really, I suppose, about returning to the ethos of the 50s, 60s and 70s, where huge swathes of what we now know as Dublin was built.
Absolutely. I think that can only be a good thing, that we built homes for people and we offered it to people that that were able to build communities. I mean, here, I live in Marino. It was one of the first estates to be built by the state in the 30s. I have neighbours here who have the full history, and when you read about it across the road back in the 30s and 40s, we had doctors, we had people who cleaned roads, we had people who were teachers, people who worked in the council. I mean, it was, and the greens, they were there for people to commune, and everyone lived fairly harmoniously. And they lived within means, which was great. Now we have a development up the road here, and they've projected that the one bed apartment is going to start at €362,000. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's mind boggling. So I mean, we need to start. We need to go back. I mean, obviously, the founding fathers, if you want to say it like that, they had the vision that we need to build a society that's quite equal and that people can afford to live in, and where we can build communities, people can come together, that houses are affordable and that people can make ends meet, and we're not putting them under the kind of pressure that seems to be acceptable now, where the very few are making an awful lot of money off the backs of these young people coming up. I mean, it just, rent is crazy. It's averaging in Marino, I think it's up and around 2,600 a month for a three-bed house, which was built by the state. It's unbelievable, so it is.
And the frightening thing, I suppose, Bernard, is that when that house was built, it wouldn't even have cost that money to build it in the first place. And now it's making that per month.
Now, well, they built those houses, I think it was £634 in 1931 is what they did. But the council, they sold it to the people. You got a mortgage from the council, I think it was £26. So, and you only paid back what you could afford, 10% of your income. So it didn't matter what you were on. So it was a very inclusive system. And from the records that a lot of the elderly, I've got neighbours living next door to me that are, I've 82, there's 87, and they have the full history of Marino. They grew up in their houses and just, they're aghast at the way things have gone. They can't believe that we've allowed it to get this bad. When they said that they remembered the Greens in Marino, the people communing together, socialising together, and you had a stability in that you had a home. And I mean, I think that's what, isn't that what we really want for our people, is to be able to have a home. For our children particularly, I mean, 3,000 children in emergency accommodation is, to me, that's appalling. That's just horrendous. When I see all the little kids going up to school, and my daughter, my son, children, and it's just, I find that really, really depressing. So I do.
Bernard, what would you say to people who will, and I'm not saying that I am one of these people, but there are people who express an opinion that sure, the county council or the corporation, they're only talking shops and they're only places for people to cut their teeth so that they can move on to Dáil Éireann, and they really don't serve any useful purpose.
Right. So, well, you know, I've heard a bit of that. I actually attended a one-day seminar last year in Croke Park, which was a professor from Cork who'd come up, and she gave a great talk about local government and how it's been completely attacked the last 15 years, that it's been edged away, and that she would like to see a return to local government taking more control of local issues, and not necessarily just roads and footpaths. And it was a very interesting it was the Inclusion Ireland one day seminar. It was a very interesting talk she gave. It was really interesting that slowly but surely, for some reason, we've allowed these powers to be taken away from county councillors. I understand there was certain issues with councillors, whatever, but I'd like to see that fall back in to their remit, so that people would have a say in their area about the local issues, about housing, about affordability, about schooling, and all these particular type of issues that are really important to communities, and not just a case of a county councillor can only fix a pothole and maybe get a lawn cut. You know, I personally would like to see, like, I mean, your TD is there, they're busy, so let them be busy doing what they're doing, but let county councillors take care of the business of local politics, of looking after the local. The local issues that, and then people can come to you. You're a face, you're a person there, you're living in the community, you've got apathy, you've got connection with the community. And I think that would be a good thing for our society now going forward.
Excuse me, Bernard. Before I let you go, one thing that I have asked each of the candidates here, be it for the European or for the local elections, to stress is the day of the vote, as in the date, day and date, and the times that the stations are open.
But it's the 24th of this month, so it's Friday, 2 weeks, and the stations are open at 8 o'clock. You'll have to forgive me now. After spending a week in the matter, I came off I had an incident with a poster, and so I had a bit of a tumble, and I had the good men at Dublin City Fire Brigade looked after me, brought me in. So today is my first day back. Yesterday was my first day back canvassing. So I'm just getting the head round it now. So I am again. But it's up in St. Vincent de Paul here from Marino, and there's the other schools in Clontarf and Donnacarney are open for polling. So hopefully
Bernard, just on that, and Do you think that, I mean, notoriously, local elections have been pretty low turnouts. Do you think maybe this time around it might be a little bit different?
It would be great if it was a little bit different. And I tell you, after repeal and the amount of people that turned up and came out, and you saw particularly the young people and how they've started to get involved and how they started to engage, I hope that, you know, particularly for these now, sort of the first big test since repeal, that those people would come out in droves. Because it's important, like, if you want to say in what goes on, you have to get involved and you have to at least your vote, and then you can hold that person to account. If you voted them in, they're not doing their job, well, at least you can knock on the door and say, listen, I voted for you because I thought you were going to do this, this and this, and you're not. Why? And I think, and then we have the responsibility to answer them because they invested that vote in you. So I'd like to definitely, I hope more people come out. I'd hate to see it in the 30s. I'd love to see it up higher. So I would. I'd love to see a good local engagement and a fairly decent turnout. And I hope, you know, that people definitely should get more involved in politics. Absolutely. It's important. Especially for our children.
Yes, indeed. And I suppose for anybody listening this morning who, you know, tut-tutting and throwing their eyes to heaven, just stop for 1 second and think of the amount of people around the world who would give anything to be able to go and exercise their franchise. Bernard Mulvaney, People Before Profit in the Clontarf ward, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Bernard. Thanks. Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks very much, Ron. I appreciate that now. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Now, that was People Before Profit candidate in the Clontarf ward, Bernard Mulvaney.